And people have come back to me and said, I've had to try harder at driving my car in a way that I'd be happy to have my pastor sit next to me. And others who have got into work and realized that within 10 minutes they're already moaning and whinging and blaming others. So just thinking, ah, no, that's right. I want to be an example in all things. And we looked at being an example from a letter that a guy called Paul wrote to a guy called Timothy, from an older Christian to a younger Christian. And he was saying, hey, Timothy, you need to be an example. And he gave Timothy five ways that he could be an example. He said in his speech, the way he spoke to people, the way he conducted himself, so that's everything that he did, and the way that he loved people, in his faith, that's kind of like his Christian kind of life, and also in his purity. And this morning, I want us to just go back a little bit and look at faith again. And in particular, look at the subject of prayer. And this is very relevant to us this coming week, because it's our week of prayer as a church, as we begin this term, as we begin this academic year. So Phil mentioned earlier, on Wednesday night, instead of small groups this week, we are going to gather together as a whole church and pray together. So you may not know, but we're actually a church across three sites. We meet here and at New England Street in the middle of Brighton, also over in Shoreham. And those all three sites are coming together to pray this week on Wednesday night and also on Friday night, going right through to midnight on Friday, which is always good fun. I've got a bit of news for you, and that is our Shoreham site this morning celebrate their 1 year birthday. So, which is great. It's great to celebrate with them. And they've got big news to share this morning, because they are actually going to be moving venue. They'll be meeting in the Shoreham Centre, and they've now secured a contract this week to move into the Shoreham Academy, which is a very nice new kind of secondary school with a kind of purpose-built auditorium and everything like that. So we're really pleased that they're moving into new premises, and we're really praying for a new season for them. Actually, they really grow and go forward this year. Obviously, we want to grow as well, but it's great to pray for our kind of brothers and sisters who are going for it as well in the city. So that hurrah for Shoreham. We're looking forward to celebrating our 1 year birthday in the new year. So it's appropriate for us to get into prayer this week, both as a church, but also for us individually. I know a lot of us would have had a break over the summer. We're back into jobs and schools and life and stuff. Even if you haven't, it's a good time just to take stock and think, hey, God, what are the things that I need to pray about in my life? It may be that you've got some big challenges that you're facing, or some big decisions that you need to make, or maybe it's just everyday life stuff. Actually, all of it, we need to be good at praying. So we're going to look at that this morning. I'm not going to look at one particular passage in the Bible. We're going to jump around a bit, but most of the scriptures that I mentioned this morning will come up on the screen. I'm going to pray. Seems like the right thing to do. And then we'll get to it. Okay. Dear Lord God, I thank you that we can be together this morning as the people of God. Thank you that we get to worship you this morning. Reminded again that you are holding on to us, Lord God. There's not a moment that you take your eyes off us or don't stop caring, Lord God. We want this morning just to know what it is, how to respond to that, how to respond in relationship to you, Lord God. So I pray, help me as I speak, Lord, help me to be articulate and slow enough so that people can keep up, Lord God. But I pray, help each of us to have ears open to hear what you would want to say, Lord, and hearts to receive kind of challenge and encouragement this morning. I pray for the person who feels furthest from you, who maybe has prayed but feels like they've received no answers, Lord God. I pray, would you speak to even them this morning? I pray, draw us all close to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so the first scripture I want to look at this morning is from John chapter 15, verse 5, and it says this. Jesus talking. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay, so Simon said earlier, actually God is always holding on to us. Okay, that never changes. But from this verse, it appears that we can kind of separate ourselves from God, though, in terms of this picture of a vine, branches and a vine. Have you ever bought anyone some flowers? Who's ever bought someone some flowers? Good, well done. I regularly buy my wife flowers, sometimes for anniversaries, sometimes it's a birthday, sometimes to say sorry, and sometimes just because I love her. And we had our 10-year anniversary this week. Woo! My wife held on in there. She did so well. And we celebrated 10 years. But I didn't buy her flowers. I bought her shoes this year. And she's like, yes, shoes. But yes, if you buy flowers, Like these flowers here. These are white gladioli. These are the flowers that my wife had in her bouquet when she married me. And they're flowers. They're great. But flowers, when you buy them from a shop, they've been unattached from their roots, from their bulbs, or whatever they've grown out of, okay? And we stick them in water. And even if you add flower food to that water in that vase, they have a shelf life, don't they? They're only going to last for so long. Occasionally, they last a week, sometimes even 2 weeks, if you've got the right ones. But eventually, they're going to begin to turn brown, and they're going to droop, and they are going to die. And at that point, you throw them away. Or if you're in our house, we wait an extra 2 weeks and make sure they've gone really brown, the water's gone skanky, begun to kind of smell a little bit, and they've gone a bit slimy, and you've had to disinfect the vase. But the point is, eventually, they're going to die, aren't they? Okay. They're, you know, because they've been cut, they've been unattached from what was giving them life. And so water's a temporary solution, but it's not the same as being attached at the source. So cut flowers versus a tree. Now, trees, they're rooted in the ground, and they bear fruit year after year because they're not cut off from the source. And this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, you need to stay attached if you want to bear fruit. I'm never going to let go of you. But if you want your life to bear fruit, for eternal fruit, fruit that will last, well, then you need to stay connected. You need to stay attached to me. Because branches that aren't attached to a tree, what are they? Firewood. Hey, good answer. Yeah, they just become a stick. And they're useful for what? They're useful for putting on the fire or for throwing to your dog. That's what sticks are for. And we've got a choice. We can choose. Are we going to be a pile of sticks? Are we going to be branches that are well attached to Jesus that then bear much fruit? How we could be, branches, but we want to be those that are bearing fruit and much fruit. Okay, and Jesus is saying, you can't do that apart from me. You need to stay attached. And the prayer is the way that we can do that, or one of the ways that we can do it, one of the major ways that we can do this. John Piper, who is a preacher in the States, he wrote this: prayer is the translation into 1,000 different words of a single sentence. Apart from me, apart from Christ, you can do nothing. When you're praying, you're saying, Jesus, I can't do this without you. You're being humble enough to saying, hey, my energies are only going to last for so long. They've got a shelf life, but I want to bear eternal fruit. I want my life to count for something. I want to do things that are going to bring Jesus glory and praise to his name, and are going to bear fruit eternally. And for that to happen, God, I need you to be in it. I need you to be in the big decisions. I need you to be in the everyday life. So the big stuff in our life. You may be facing decisions in your life. I'm moving house. Or I'm choosing someone to get married. Or I'm having to raise children. Or I'm choosing which college I need to go to. Or making a decision about a promotion. Whatever it might be, you may be making some big decisions. Well, you need to say, God, I need you in these decisions. I can make this decision without you. Sure I can, but I want you to be in it. I want to be fruitful for you. And as a church, we've got kind of history of being good prayers. That's one of the great things about this church. Over its 30 years, it's had men who've led it who are committed to prayer, who don't want to just leap into this, that, and the other just on a whim or because they think it's a good idea. They want to know what God's ideas are and go with them because they know those will be the most fruitful. So we've been committed to prayer, committed to the big stuff. And we want to keep doing that. That's what this week of prayer is about. And that, for me, that's what I want this site to be about. We've been going 6 months. And I just think it's a really good time to take stock and think, okay, what are some of the things that I want to be kind of characteristic about our site? What will people say about the Right Race Course site? What kind of place is it? I want to be a place where we pray. Where we say, hey, God, we want you to be a part of every decision we make. We want you to go before us into this term and make us a fruitful people. So the big stuff, but also the everyday stuff. I want to start each day saying, God, I've got a day where I need your help to be patient. I need your help to be joyful in the midst of hard circumstances. I want a day where I want to speak about your name and find opportunities to love other people. God, help me, help me, help me. I want to stay attached to you. I don't want to try and do this by myself. Staying attached. Do you know what? Jesus did it as well. He's our perfect example in this. If anyone didn't need to stay attached, it was Jesus. He was perfect. He was the Son of God. But when we read about his life in the Bible, we see very clearly that he just prays. He's praying at every opportunity that he can. So one of the big decisions he made, he had to choose who the first 12 church leaders ever were going to be. So he spent all night on his knees praying, saying, God, who is it? Which one should I choose? Should it be this one? Should it be that one? He knew it was too big a decision to just kind of wander in and go, oh, yeah, you guys will do. He said, no, I want to pray first. And that was the rest of his life, always constantly praying. Find chances to pray and stay attached to his Father. And he's encouraging us to do the same. Okay. But this morning, as I talk about prayer, I don't want you to go away thinking, okay, this is something I should do and I must do. It seems to say I must stay attached. If we're going to bear more fruit, to do more stuff, I must pray more. I must extend the amount of time I'm praying. I must go to more prayer meetings. If you go away thinking I must or I should do this, you'll quickly fail, let me assure you, and you'll get frustrated and you'll feel guilty or discouraged. If you do it from that place. Instead, I want you to do it from a place of grace and knowing what Jesus has done for you. I'm not asking you this morning to be more religious. People think Christianity is about do's and don'ts. I spoke about this last week. Okay, it's not. It's about relationship. Relationship, not religion. So I'm not saying, hey, you've got to come to this prayer meeting. You must be here. You must pray for this many times a day. And this is the way that you must pray. I'm saying is that actually Jesus has done a wonderful thing. He went to the cross so that where you are disconnected, you are unattached from God, he is now attached to you. He's dealt with the sin that kept you separate from God. So now you can have a relationship with God. You can have friendship with God. But you know what? One further, a big step further, as he did it so that your God could become your Father, so that you could become his children, that God could become your dad. Actually, that's the words that Jesus uses. He says, he cries out, Abba, Father. And he teaches that's how we should pray as well. And really, it's basically Jesus saying, Daddy. Now, I don't even call my own dad, Daddy. But he's saying, hey, that's this closeness of relationship that you can have with God now. And so Jesus is saying, when you're praying, come to him and say, Father. And that's exactly how he taught his disciples. I'm not sure how well this is going to come on the screen, so I'll read it to you. He says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. Start by saying, our Father, my daddy in heaven. That's the kind of approach that we should have. It's not, oh, Lord Almighty, this is how I should approach you. It's like, no, God, my Father, I can come and approach you as a son approaches a father. What about this verse? Which of you, if your son asks you for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So there's an attitude of prayer that isn't about a should, but a realization that, hey, God's a Father that is for me. And actually, he wants me to come and talk to him about what's going on in my life. I don't know what kind of dad you have. I don't know whether he was around when you were younger. I don't know whether he was good at listening to you or stuff. But God is a perfect and good father. Everything you imagine about a good father would be, God is. Now, I'm not a perfect father at all, okay? But my children do know that I love them. And my children know that I'm interested in what happens in their lives. And so when they come bounding up to me, telling me about stuff, they know I'm going to listen. I'm going to give them my attention. They might have to say, Dad, like, oh, sorry, I've got other things going on, but I have to get my attention, but I'm so interested in what happens. The reality is, sometimes I try and ask them what's going on in their lives, and my son started trampolining. I was like, Obi, how was trampolining? He's like, good. I was like, what did you do? Bounced. Anything else? Nope. I was like, okay, chill me. So sometimes it's that way around. But I'm interested in what's going on in their lives. And my kids are definitely not shy about asking for stuff. They ask me for stuff all the time. And often I say no, often I say yes. But they never stop asking, okay, because I know that I love them and I'm for them. And God's the same with us. He's for you, and he wants to know what's going on in your life, and he wants you to ask him for stuff. He's not put out by that. He's literally waiting for his children just to come and ask. He said, you do not have because you do not ask. So come and ask God. You can say, here's another one. Cast all your anxiety on him, on God, because he cares for you. If you've got worries or your burden, he's saying, come to me, give it to me. I want to walk it through with you. I want to give you my peace and my joy. Let me help you. Why don't you come and pray? Come and tell me about what's going on in your life. Or he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? God has already given you the best thing. He's given you his very own son. That should give us confidence that he will happily give us other things as well. That gives us confidence. Hey, if God gave us Jesus, his own son, allowed him to die on the cross for us, then surely he's going to help me with some everyday stuff. That's small in comparison, especially as he's king over all things. So be confident, my friends. Be bold. Approach him as a dad who loves you and wants to speak with you. It's about relationship. And like every relationship, it should be a regular one. So with my kids, if I only spoke to them every now and again in the month, it wouldn't be much of a relationship. Okay, but I speak to them regularly. It's an everyday thing. Even when I can't be around, they still call me on their phone before they go to bed because I want to know, what's going on in your life? How's it going? Or with my wife, with my prized relationship. Hey, you know, all through the day, you know, I'm texting her and she's texting me and she texts me again and she texts me again and emails and phones and, you know, she loves being in contact with me. I love being in contact with her too. But there's a relationship thing that's regular. It's daily. It's all through the day. There's a great guy called Spurgeon who is a great preacher and great prayer, actually, in the last century. And he said this, I rarely pray for more than 20 minutes, but I rarely go for 20 minutes without praying. He was constantly just speaking to God. Sometimes, yeah, it's just like a short text message. Sometimes it's a sit-down, coffee, chat type thing. Sometimes it's little, sometimes it's long, but it's regular contact, building relationship. It's open and it's vulnerable. So my kids are great. They talk to me about anything and everything that's going on type of thing. We have some random conversations. But I know as they grow up, as with all teenagers, there'll come a time where they're not as open and vulnerable. Actually, there's other places where they speak about stuff. Now I'm trying to build it in and that we can talk about anything and everything with my boys and my daughter-to-be. But I want us to be open and vulnerable. But you know, I know when I was a teenager, I was a grumpy teenager. My conversation with my parents wasn't much more than, good day, thanks. Do you know what I mean? There wasn't much vulnerability. I wasn't very open. So I didn't receive much of their wisdom. As much as they loved and they cared for me, actually I kind of unattached myself from that relationship. And I had to rebuild it in my late teens. So, oh, guys, I'm sorry. And I've kind of cut you off and done my own thing and gone my own way. I want to stay in relationship with you. Now I have a great relationship with my parents, actually. But there's a sense of choosing to be open and vulnerable. Say, God, this is what is going on in my life. I'm disappointed about this. This has made me cross. Why is this the case? When you come to God, you haven't got to use flowery language. You haven't got to be all religious. Like, oh, dear Lord, thee, thou, and the other. No, it's just like, God, I'm really struggling with this. I don't understand why I've messed up again, or I don't understand why you've let this happen. You know, you can go to God with that kind of stuff. If you read the Bible and you turn to the Psalms, basically if you take your Bible and put it open in the middle, you get to the Psalms. There's 150 of them. And loads of them are like, God, where are you? Why is this happening in my life? The psalmist, King David, who wrote a lot of them, he was just really honest with God. He had this relationship where he loved God. He knew who God was. But as he battled with different things going on in his life, he was just open and honest with God about how he felt. And God wants you to do that as well. Wherever you are at in that right now, you can do that. I'd encourage you to as well. Don't think, oh, I can't speak like that to God. God knows you're thinking that anyway. You might as well say it out loud. Okay, open and vulnerable. It's two-way. Relationships are two-way. Sometimes my conversations with my wife aren't two-way. Sometimes it's a download at the end of the day type of thing. But actually, we've got a two-way relationship. It's give and take, we talk to each other. And that's the same with God. Actually, we want to talk to him, but actually, he wants to talk to you as well. And there's different ways that he does that. Sometimes it's through a feeling, sometimes it's through a thought, but most of the time, the lion's share of the time, it's through his word. So whenever we talk about prayer, it's really important that we talk about the Bible as well. Because if you want God to speak to you, you need to have your Bible out. You need to be reading it, or you need to be Googling it, okay? The great thing about the Bible, even if you haven't got it in your hand, actually it's on the internet, it's everywhere, okay? The Bible is so accessible. That's the great thing about living this time in history. The Bible is everywhere. We can get hold of it. I actually read my Bible more on my phone than in any other format. It's on my phone, so it's so easy to read it. There's nothing wrong with that. Do that. Or maybe you're not a big reader, then listen to it. There's nothing saying you have to read it. Hey, listen to it as well. Usain Bolt, he could be listening to the Bible right now. I don't know. Stick some headphones on, listen to the Bible. By any means, get hold of the Bible. Let God speak to you through it and respond. Okay, relationship. So I've talked about being really open and honest with God, but he's still a father. He's still a dad. And so he's worthy of your respect and honor. Okay. So when I talk to my kids, or when my kids talk to me, occasionally when they come home from school, they're still in kind of playground speak. And they're speaking to me as if I'm one of their kind of just buddies in the playground. Now we're buddies, we're friends of my kids. But there's a kind of a level. I was like, guys, you know what? You're not speaking to me right. Remember, I'm your dad. There's a certain way that you need to approach me, actually. You can be really open, really honest, be really vulnerable. You can tell me what's going on. You can tell me that you're cross with me. That's fine. But there's a way that you still do that. So just be respectful and honest to God as well. He's still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords as well as he's your father. Okay, so someone has made that point as well. Okay, so it's about relationships, staying attached, being in relationship with God. Not praying because you should, because God loves you and he wants to be in relationship with you. But as well as prayer being about relationship, it's also about fighting. Let me hear a hoo. Well, amen. Good stuff. Okay, it's about fighting. Okay, this is, God gives prayer as a weapon to us. Okay, God's really clear in his word that the Christian walk is a battle. Okay, it's hard work. And he's got things for us to do. He's got things for us as a church to do. And our battles aren't with flesh and blood. We're not going to take our swords into the middle of Brighton. But actually, no, it's about a spiritual battle. And so we need spiritual weapons. And prayer is the key one. It's the key spiritual weapon. We want to be those who are on our knees praying, fighting for our city. A city that doesn't really know God and largely rejects God. We want to fight that it would know God's grace and know God's love. And so we need to be those that wield it well. We need to be good, who grasp the sword and are good at thrusting it and learning how to fight. Okay, and that's what prayer is. God's calling us to do that. And prayer is really, really easy. As soon as you start praying, you'll find that every day it just gets easier and easier. You want to pray for longer and longer. Am I right? No. It's not. Prayer is hard, hard work. It is a battle and it is a fight, but it's a fight worth winning. Sometimes it is easy. Let me tell you, sometimes it is. But a lot of the time, it is hard. We don't pray when we feel like it. We pray even when we don't. We pray, we think we have to fight against distractions. Whoever gets distracted when they're praying? My key distraction when I'm praying is sleep. Dear Lord God, so I have to choose other times where sleep's not a distraction. But you have to fight it. Or there's things coming to mind. Things, you know, life's busy. I've got 4 kids. You know, I've got work is busy. I've got this happening. I need to get this DIY done. Blah, blah, blah. There's lots of things going on. So when I pray, I try and have either my phone or something else near me. So if something pops into mind and it won't leave me alone, I write it down. And it's done with. I know it's dealt with. And I carry on praying. Okay. And sometimes it's just other things that it's like, I wonder what the best superhero power is. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I meant to be praying. So I'm thinking like, I wonder if a man will ever swim faster than a shark. It's like, no, I must pray. It's like so easy to get distracted, but you have to fight. You have to say, God, help me. And one of the ways I've found really helpful in the last couple of years, it's been a real turning point in my prayer life, is I write my prayers to God often. It helps me get into good rhythm, especially if I haven't prayed much for a couple of days. I sit down and write my prayer out to God. It helps me slow down, helps me to concentrate, helps me to keep a train of thought. Okay, it helps me not to be distracted. The other thing is to go to a place where it's not distracting. Okay, sitting in front of Facebook is a distracting place. But finding a quiet place where you can pray. Jesus often went into solitude, away from things. No, turn your phone off. Find a place where you can get prayer with God. Okay, keep going and going and going and going and going and don't ever give up. Jesus talks about this. He talks about this persistent widow who comes before this judge who's a bit nasty. And she nags and nags and nags him. Eventually the judge gives in and gives her what she wants. And Jesus isn't saying God's like a judge who's a nasty judge. And he's not saying we're to be nagged. But the point is that we're to be persistent. We're to keep praying. So maybe there's things that you've prayed about that you've not seen breakthrough in yet. Or things like, hey, this life is still difficult. Well, God's saying, you know what? Keep praying. Learn to fight and to keep going. There's another part in the Bible with a guy called Jacob. And Jacob meets God and he wrestles with him. I spent a lot of my summer watching Olympics. Anyone watch Olympics? And I spent a lot of my time watching the most random sports. Sports that I would never watch. If it was a normal Saturday afternoon, there's no way I'd be watching it. But it's London 2012. Yes, I'll watch wrestling. Yay! So I watched a bit of wrestling. And, you know, they grip each other and they go for it, absolutely gunning for one another. They won't let go. And we're to be like that. We're to wrestle with God. We're to really get in there type of thing. I wrestle with my boys. There's a sense of real intimacy in that. Do you know what I mean? You're grabbing each other and really getting hold of one another. I want to encourage you, get hold of God in the place of prayer. Especially if you've been a Christian for many years, I would encourage you. Are you wrestling? Is your prayer life as it was 10 years ago? Let me encourage you, you should be becoming more and more of a wrestler, getting more and more of an expert at it. Be good at wrestling with God, getting to a place where you're going to really work things out with Him. Okay, the other thing in terms of fighting, we fight together. We're going to get in the trenches together. Okay, I find prayer so much easier when I'm praying with other people. You know, it's important to have your own prayer life with God. But the great thing of God, when He made us His children, it means we've got a whole lot of other brothers and sisters to do life with. And we get to pray together. And it does me good to pray alongside other people. And so I make sure at prayer meetings in different contexts where I pray alongside other people, where we spur one another on, where we encourage one another, we're going to fight for the same things in prayer. You pray that, and I'm going to say amen. I'm going to get behind you in it. And I'm going to pray, and you're going to get behind my prayer. And when I'm flagging, you're going to say, come on, keep going. Keep praying. I know it's hard work, but keep going. So we're going to pray together as well. So stay attached. Realize this is about a relationship, not about religion. I'm not asking you to pray more because you should. I'm asking you to pray more because God wants to be in your life. I'm asking you to fight. There's things to fight for as a site. I want us to grow, okay? I want us to outgrow this room. I want us to outgrow this venue and get all kinds of problems, okay? Because so many people are coming along and finding Jesus. I want us to fight for the struggles in our lives as well. We've got to fight together for those things. So, next steps. Are you convinced that prayer is important? If you are, let me suggest some next steps, some ideas for you. Make a plan. If you've ever met up with me about your own prayer life or about Bible reading, anything like that, the first thing I'll say is, have you got a plan? If you don't plan, then it's the same as planning to do nothing. Okay, because you're just kind of, oh, maybe I'll do this, maybe I'll do that. Unless you make a plan, you won't really take any strides forward, especially in prayer. It's difficult, so you've got to think, hey, what is it I'm going to do? I need to make a plan. And it needs to be doable, but challenging as well. Okay? So I don't want you to leave this morning thinking, you know what, I am convinced. I do want to spend more time with Father in heaven. So you know what, tomorrow, 4 a.m., I'm going to get up. I'm going to get 3 hours with God until 7 o'clock. And then, you know, I'm going to have some breakfast, pray again on the bus to work. And then when it gets to lunchtime, I'm going to pray again for another hour. Let me tell you, even if you manage to do that tomorrow, you won't be doing it Tuesday. It's got to be doable. Take some steps in this. Okay, so if you've never prayed, or you very rarely pray, well, let me encourage you, just take a small step. Say, hey, this week, I'm going to plan on 3 days to pray for 5 minutes. That's where I'm going to start. And then maybe the week after, I'll do 5 minutes every day. Or maybe I'll do it, extend it to 10 minutes. Or maybe you've been praying for many years. Or maybe the time is to challenge yourself a bit more. So make it doable, but make sure it takes a little bit of work. Make sure it's a little bit challenging at least. Find your place and time. It's taken me the best part of my 31 years to find a place and a time. I've got a few different places and times that work for me. So one of my places is earphones in with some music that doesn't have lyrics in a coffee shop with a pen and paper. That is one of my best places. Another place, I love walking along the race course. I love walking along the seafront. They're good places. Good times for me are early in the morning before my children wake up. And I just find places. Where can I pray where I'm not going to get distracted and I can really connect with God, okay? Some people, they need to be out and about in hills, trees, and woods. I like actually being a bit in a busy cafe. I like the energy that gives. Okay, so find a place and time. Okay, find things that will help you. So you could use the ACTS acronym or maybe the Lord's Prayer as a guide. Okay, so sometimes we're like, what should I pray? How do I pray? Well, I got taught this thing, ACTS, okay? It's adoration. Start off by saying, God, I adore you. Okay, telling God how great and wonderful it is, worshipping him. It can be so easy to get straight onto us, but it's like, hey, I'm going to worship him. And the C stands for confession. That means, hey, keeping a short kind of record with God. Hey, you know what? I get things wrong every day. So every day I need to come to God and say, God, I'm sorry for yesterday. I'm sorry for my attitude in that. Sorry for being a BMW, a blamer, a moaner, and a whinger. I'm sorry again for that one. Keeping a short account, confession. Say, God, forgive me. T, for thanks. God, thank you for all that you've done for me. Thank you for the cross. But thank you for every breath that I have. Every breath I have, it says in your word, comes from you. And every blessing besides. Okay. And the last one is S. Posh word, supplication. It basically means stuff. Okay, you can put stuff instead. Okay, that's when you pray for, okay, God, I need this. Okay, or I want this. So that's helpful. Or maybe the Lord's Prayer. God, Jesus taught his disciples how to pray by giving the Lord's Prayer. And you can work through that line by line, not just saying it, but saying, hey, what do each of these lines mean? Okay, pray with others. I kind of covered this already. Did you know, as a church, we have a Saturday morning prayer meeting between 8 and 9 o'clock? Not many people want to give up their Saturday mornings at 8 and 9 o'clock and get up early again. But I want to encourage you, especially if you are a church member, because when you said, hey, I'm becoming a church member, you are saying, yes, I want to pray with the church. Let me encourage you between now and Christmas to put a few Saturday mornings in your diary and say, you know what, I'm going to come along and I'm going to come and pray with the elders and the other people in the church because I know it will do me good. I know that praying with others is the single most helpful thing to my praying. In terms of me growing as a man of prayer, the thing that's helped me the most is by praying with other men of prayer who've prayed for decades and learning about how they relate to God has helped me learn how to relate to God. So Saturday morning is a good setting. Obviously, we've got our Wednesday and a Friday night. Please make every effort to get there. They're going to be great evenings. And here, a bit of news for you. So we have zone meetings. I have had zone meetings up until this point. And that means kind of six times a year, our small groups that meet during the week have met together in clusters, in groups of small groups, if you know what I'm saying. And we're going to stop doing those as of this term. And instead, we're going to replace them with a site prayer meeting. So in October and December, instead of having zone meetings, we'll be coming all together, hopefully at the race course. We haven't quite finalized that yet. And we're going to be praying together because we want to be those that are built on a foundation of prayer. Zones still exist in terms of looking after the small groups. But in terms of the actual zone meetings, we're going to be doing site prayer meetings, first one being on the 3rd of October. And other opportunities. Find people that you can pray with. Just say, hey, let's mess me up for a few weeks. Let's just the two or three of us, let's pray. Let's pray for maybe specific things that are going on with you or just praying for the church or praying that God helps you to be more like Jesus. Okay, right. I spoke about this earlier. It's helpful to write things down. I write to God, like writing a letter to him. That might not be your thing, but it's really, really helped me. I think quite quick and I'm a bit of a scatterbrain. It just helps me to slow down. And to just think, hey, what is God saying to me? And what does it actually want to talk to God about? Also write down requests. So if people ask you to pray for them, you say, yeah, I'll pray for you. How quickly we forget to do that. Hey, write it down. Or even better, pray for them there and then. Okay? And last one is write down answers to prayer. How many times do we pray for things and then forget that God's answered? I was praying that we'd be able to stay in the race course next year, even though it's quite expensive. I was like, God, what I want to do is I want to stay here. I want to keep meeting here. And we came back to work in September, found out that our guys had renegotiated the contract and had substantially got the price down. I was like, oh, that's really good. I was like, oh, that's brilliant. And thanked the guy who did that. And I was like, it wasn't until a week later, I was like, God, that's total answer to prayer. I was praying about that, but I've totally failed to thank you for that. So I write down the request and write down answers to keep track of those kind of things. So right, go deeper. So some of us, this might be a start of journey, you know, of prayer, but I know for some of us, it definitely is not. There are some great prayers at this site. Men and women I look up to in your prayer life. But I want to encourage even you to go deeper in your prayer life with God. Deeper relationship with him. Okay, he wants to know you even more. He wants to spend even more time with you. Fight comfort. When you get in a comfortable place with prayer, where it's normally time to press on a bit. Learn to wrestle a bit more. Spend a bit more time. Get up a bit earlier. Make some more sacrifices to really keep seeking him. Read and be challenged. There are many great men and women of prayer down the centuries. I read James Fraser, a biography about James Fraser, who was a missionary in China. And he was a great prayer. And it did something wonderful to my prayer life when I was reading it before the summer. Just so challenged and provoked by a guy who just knew that he could not do it with God. He knew what it was that apart from Jesus, he could do nothing. So he just got prayed and prayed and prayed. And it was so challenging and provoking to me. And I just encourage you to do that. And fasting. So fasting is something that God's given us as well. This is where we'll give up food for a period of time to keep really dedicate ourselves to praying. So it might just be a lunchtime, might be a day, might be a few days. I encourage you, if you're getting on seriously with God, why don't you consider fasting as well? Okay, so just some for some of you that'll be relevant for. Last thing I want to say is don't be discouraged. Okay, you're not going to get this right. You're not going to get this right tomorrow probably, and let alone by the end of next week. But I want to encourage you, keep getting back on the horse because God is full of grace and forgiveness. Okay. Hey, that when the days pass, you think, oh no, I haven't got this right. Sometimes you feel, oh, now I don't want to go to God because I haven't done any well. It's like, no, God is gracious and he loves you. You're not praying to get in his good books. You cannot do that. Jesus dying on the cross got you in the good book. Okay, that's what Jesus dying on the cross did. Praying is just a means of his love to you. And just get back to it. Say, God, I'm sorry, I've not done great with this. Please forgive me. Do you know what? Jesus makes your prayers good. If I took the best prayer in the room right now and the person who's never prayed in the room and asked them to pray, neither prayer is good enough for God. Okay? Because our prayers are always kind of coloured by our sin. They've all got imperfections. They all lack the right motives. Even if we try our very best, it's only because Jesus has made them right. Okay? Because it's only because we're hidden in him when we become Christians that we can approach God at all, that we can pray. It's a bit like this picture. Okay, when kids draw pictures, they're imperfect. But Jesus comes along and he rubs out the bits that have gone outside the lines and he perfects it and he makes it a masterpiece before God. So your prayers can be acceptable before him. So maybe you feel, oh, but I don't really know how to pray. It's just talking to God. Begin talking to God. It doesn't matter how good or bad an effort it is. If you're doing it with absolute love for God, because you know Jesus has loved you and saved you. Actually, Jesus is going to make it perfect and make it a great prayer, and God's going to love it. The last thing to say is that Jesus is praying for you. Jesus came to the earth, and he died for you, and he was risen from the dead, and then he went back to heaven, and he's sitting at the right hand of God. And you know what he's doing there? He's there talking to the Father about you. He's saying, Lee's really struggling, Father. Please help him. Please help him get through on this. Oh, God, please help my friend Dan. He's going off to university. I want him to do really, really well. He's there praying for each of us in each of our circumstances. He's saying, oh, God, my friend's going through such a hard time. It breaks my heart, and it breaks the Father's heart too. He's there praying for each of us. And we need to be really clear on this. When you're praying, actually, Jesus is praying for each and every one of us. Maybe you don't know God yet. Maybe you've never prayed. Or maybe your first prayer should be like, God, if you're there, if you're real, show me. Because actually, I need someone praying for me. I need someone who's got my back. I need my sins dealt with. God, show me that. So this morning might be the first time for you to pray. And my friend Phil Turner, a bit later, is going to come back up and maybe give you more of an opportunity to do that. I'm going to ask the band to come back up.